God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet the Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Greetings and salutations, Earthlings. This is Starfleet Commander Visible, the dog poet. Chained like Ulysses to the mast, tormented by sirens but grateful for the confinements and restraints that have kept me off the rocks of treacherous shores. I'm hovering over those treacherous shores tonight, those pleasures and things that steal our health, our vision, and our virtues, and give us nothing in return but mortality. We move through languorous dreamscapes, driven by appetites and desires that bind us on a wheel of fire. We are the walking dead, coffin-bound, seeking the protracted dirt nap, because the light of self-realization is too bright for the mind's eyes. And I don't want to go all dark and dreary, just stating what I see from the windows of my saucer pod. It seems pointless to me, but makes some kind of sense to the people engaged in it. Readers of my blogs, and possibly listeners of this radio show, know that I've made use of ketamine for the last couple of years. About 2 years ago in the early summer, I was walking on the streets of Basel when a thought came into my head that I should ask my occasional suppliers of psychotropic fungus and ayahuasca about ketamine. I'd known about it for years, but never been that curious. I know that it's been used for decades by big game hunters to lie motionless for long periods of time. John Lilly of Dolphin fame also used it for decades, and I suspect it figured dramatically into his work, given my own experiences. Excuse me. In any case, I asked my contact, and he had it. And I got some, and I tried a little, and said to myself, oh, well, that's all there is to it, and I walked away. That might have been it, but I decided to use up the small sample I'd taken, and that brought me to another place entirely. I've suffered from depression over the course of my time here. It's no surprise being on this planet, but anyway, I understand that too many beatings as a child did something to my serotonin flow. The one thing I noticed about ketamine was that it magically took away my depression and kept it away for several weeks after use. A couple of days ago, a friend of mine who's a doctor in Sweden, though he's originally from Canada, wrote to tell me that ketamine was going on the market as a miracle cure for depression. It had passed the requisite clinical trials and now it's going to be prescribed. I hadn't known any of this, but it reaffirms my connection to the item. Some straight and narrow types had taken me to task for my use of the item. Of course, they had no experience with the item. Excuse me. This immediately made them experts. Sometimes we know or discover what is right for us, and that's our business. I was never one who got high just to be high. For me, it was an accelerant on my path. This particular path has certain dangers and is not recommended except for those of us with a natural bent in that direction. It has profited me immeasurably. It has not done that for most others. I'm telling this tale because it is typical of the ignorance of the uninformed who are experts of being told what to think by the professional liars who manipulate their world and enslave them. Those of you who know more than you know should keep in mind that you don't know anything at all, and you'll find that you know what you need to know when you need to know it. I want to read a portion from today's Smoking Mirrors because I want to set you thinking, and I'd I'd like you to watch how your mind reacts to hearing what I have to say. Everything I did say is a matter of public record, so no need to get angry with me. Usually people who do are angry with themselves because they feel put in a position where they have to challenge their own belief system, and most people don't want to do that. Denial is a rage maker. We don't like to be confronted with things that cause us to have to change in order to accommodate what our hearts tell us is true. Shiva is often associated with truth, and in the Hindu tales, he is the unwelcome guest. He's never invited to weddings and births. He's known to be solitary. So is the truth. People say they want the truth, but they don't. They want a lie that's convincing enough to stand in for the truth while they go about employing the compromises that make up their life. Once you lie to yourself and once it becomes a habit, you become easy prey for those who use the big lies to control your perception of reality. One of the ways they do this is to control your perception of the past. That is the reason for revisionists and the reason why certain tales are perpetuated and protected by law. A lot rests upon the public's belief in them. A lot of money and power are involved. We are now in one of those curious times when everything gets upset because an age is passing and an age is coming, and also this is the beginning and end of a much greater cycle, so we are in deep and heavy waters indeed. Truth is lifting her skirts and our eyelids are going to be pinned back. Many will struggle with all their might against waking up, but struggle as you like, it will be to no avail. Keep all these things I said in mind as I now read from today's Smoky Mirrors. Far be it from me to ever deny the Holocaust. I have a hard enough time figuring out which Holocaust they're talking about, the one they were in or the ones they were responsible for. When someone asks me about their personal Holocaust, I say, well, it was karmic payback for what they did in Russia, but there weren't enough of them to account for all the people they murdered in Russia, so they'll have to come back a few more times to pay that off. When I look at the numbers of dead at Auschwitz, which originally stated 4.5 million and now states 1.5 million, I don't even bat an eye thinking about how there could still be 6 million dead when they themselves removed 3 million from the rolls. I just assume they have a higher form of mathematics, which I don't understand. I figure that's how they got control of all the banks and how they managed to operate the way they do, without it making any kind of sense in terms of the explanations given. Sometimes it looks like outright criminal activity, but I know that can't be right because it's against the law, right? When I hear about the German architect who was employed or forced to build the gas chambers, crematorium, emporium in 1948, soon to be a historical record of, I think this is just proof of time travel, no doubt based on the unusual mathematics modality. I observe that of the thousands and thousands of pages in the memoirs of Winston Churchill, Eisenhower, de Gaulle, and the rest, that there is no mention of gas chambers and crematoriums. These men were all elder statesmen at this time, and I immediately think they must have had a collective senior moment. When I look at the Red Cross document that lists the number of dead in the camps, which is about 271,000 of the tribe's persuasion, or an analysis by them, I do wonder why the document wasn't corrected to reflect the number of claimed dead. I mean, they've claimed this number since World War I, even before the war when it happened. So everyone should have already known how many died even before they did, right? Then I hear from Steven Spielberg that there are presently 250,000 Holocaust survivors. From some centers of the tribe, I hear there are upwards of 1 million. Of course they reproduce, except for the ones sitting on all those gay organization boards of directors mentioned earlier, who are fighting the good fight against Christianity and Christmas and Islam because of that non-usury thing. When I read about members of the tribe running Auschwitz with currency script, brothels, swimming pools, and all sorts of amenities, I think, what the hell? If you're going to be in a concentration camp, shouldn't you get a few perks? When I read survivors' stories about how many were being gassed and burned by the day, and the number comes to an enormous number a month, I think, man, they missed a lot of bodies. The reviews for the books, and this book in particular, were glowing in their tribute. The book claims that 5,000 a day were marched toward the marshmallow roast just in Birkenau. There have been a lot of touching tributes, like the 6 million paper clips Holocaust exhibit, so many that it would make a certain type of Catholic priest blush at these touching tributes. Or am I out of context? What I don't hear are members of the tribe writing in the alternative media about seeming disparities that a lot of Gentiles are made uncomfortable by because we don't understand the math. You'd think they'd have some compassion for us. What I think is that Stormin Norman Finkelstein actually is serving a certain purpose by criticizing one thing and then granting huge support to another. I think a lot of the people jailed for Holocaust denial may well be working for the tribe as examples of something they want impressed on the collective mind. First of all, Holocaust denial has nothing to do with proving your case. That is not germane. The law states that you just can't deny it. Period. Proof or no proof. So you get these show trials, and you get Irving, that historian who has been labeled as a Holocaust denier, you get him presently fudging all the borders of his former rhetoric. I'll bet there are mysteries, concealing mysteries, that are all based on this higher math that I know nothing about. This is why I accept everything they say about the Holocaust, because I don't know and I never learned the math. This is important for all of us to understand. Just because something doesn't seem to make sense and appears to be an outright lie does not mean that it is. It means that you lack the technology to understand it and also lack the restraint exercised by all of your fellows who have the good sense to swallow it whole and get on with their day. I just don't understand all the members of the tribe who are so daring in their exposés about all manner of things, and whose work I see all the time in the alternative media, and which seldom, if ever, deals with who was behind 9/11, much less the realities of the Holocaust, which they are in a position to explain to us as members of the tribe, but just don't bother to. As I said, I fully accept the official version of the Holocaust, but I would appreciate having it clarified for me by some member of the tribe that most profits from the official version. You see, a lot of what is going on today depends very heavily on the official version. Without it, there would be a very different state of affairs. The illegitimate state of Israel would be officially illegitimate instead of generally illegitimate. Heck, they wouldn't be using Palestinians for sport shooting and, confirming the kill in 10-year-old girls with book bags on their back who somehow got lost within 100 meters of a guard station. And they laugh about it and they quit each other. At this moment, well, this time I'm going away from smoking mirrors for a minute. But at this moment, it's harvest season over there. And what are all the settlers doing? They're setting fire to all of the olive trees. Isn't that lovely? Well, back to the smoking mirrors. I'm making an appeal to all members of the tribe who are riding around on white chargers in defense of the Palestinians and all matter of truth unveiling, courageously self-identified with types, to please help a Gentile out. Please don't say, sure, which way did you come in? Take a moment in your busy world tour, in defense of the downtrodden, and in the relentless exposure of heinous and enduring lies, to let me hear what you have to say about Israel and 9/11 and about the Holocaust. I genuinely need to understand a little something about the math that made it possible, and I really need to understand why I don't hear from you about it. Maybe nobody ever asked before. I'm asking now. Okay, well, there it is. You might want to think about those things. As much as you've heard about 9/11 and all the inconsistencies that exist that you could drive a truckload of Peterbilts through, a fleet of Peterbilts through, you can apply the same amount of colossal, hard-to-believe realities to the other subject. And that's kind of up to you. And then you come to realize that what Henry Ford said was right. History is bunk. This is the case with 9/11 and so many things. Until you're prepared to accept that you know nothing and that everything you know that you think you know is suspect, you will make no progress on the inward path. The first thing you have to do is let go of the idea that reality is what you think it is. Employing "I don't know" as a mantra is one of the most powerful acts you can make. Do it until it dawns on you that you do not know and never have. If you know, then God doesn't. If you don't know, then God does. When you know, then the devil is the operative force in the dual universe of relative opposites. The point of becoming like a little child is the reunification of the mind into a single state. Puberty took it from you and dumped you into a world of wonder and sorrow. The wonder departed by degrees. Puberty divided your world. Regenerated innocence can make it whole again. You cannot accomplish this burden by all of the things you think you know. Everything of importance takes place within yourself. You accomplish everything of permanence and value within. Oh, yeah. Creedence has a song, Someday. How's that go? There were many things I didn't know. Well, you better learn it fast and you better learn it young. How'd that go? 'cause someday never comes. Well, I left out a line there, but it doesn't matter. I think you get the point. When you see animals dead by the side of the road in the fall, it's all about food. When you see them there in the spring, it's all about sex. Simplistic maybe, but life is simple until you complicate it. And the only thing that complicates life are the lies we tell to engineer the accomplishment of our desires and pleasures. It's interesting that the fuel, which is the energy of reproduction, is also the energy of immortality and regenerated innocence. It's your call. Look at what the world promotes with the most intense advertising, no matter what the product is, and you will see that it's all about drawing that essential energy outside of yourself to make more of the world. Yep, that's where the whole mystery is, and once you solve it and cease to lie to yourself in order to continue to practice certain things, you will be on the verge of making an enormous discovery that will grant you things that your imagination isn't even presently capable of dealing with. Well, it looks like we've come to the end of another show, so I'll have to say I'll see you next week if there is one. Remember, November is coming now, and this is the month when it all gets very real. This is when it's going to hit, so batten down the hatches or open your heart, whichever one works for you. And thank you. It's been my pleasure to share this time with you, and I thank you for listening and hope that it's been useful to you. And all of that said, well, I guess I have to close with aloha. And what was it? All right.
You can see it in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.